But isn't it true too that this time of year just feels busy? Do you feel it? Kind of this pressure, the hustle and bustle, and I've got to get this done and that done. And it seems like sometimes there can be so much pressure and stress. And has anybody bought a tree yet? You got a tree? Anybody? Okay, I'm curious. Who does artificial? It's okay. I'm not judging, but wow, that's a lot. Wow, but then there's the stress of that, right? Because you got to get it out and then reposition it. And no? How many do live trees? Like you go, anybody here cut it? Go cut a tree? That's fun. We did that with our kids for ages and ages, and we were going to do that. And then my son and his wife had a baby instead. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's better. That's better. But who does like live trees, so not artificial? Really, that's it? Okay. All right. That's interesting. But still, there's pressure about it. And then the lights, putting them on. And, you know, there was this whole transition to LED. And I've seen a lot of memes about this, how it's funny. Like when you're packing all that together, have you ever had this experience where you're putting them away and you're thinking, I should put these away a little neater for next year. And then you're like, oh, I'm just going to throw it in there. And then next year you're like, ugh, who did this? It was me. How many of you do tinsel? I'm just curious. It's kind of an old school thing, but who does tinsel? You do tinsel? Do you throw it on? I would throw it on. You know what's funny is I was over at somebody's house once, and then they had guests. And it's fine. You probably already know who you are. But have you ever been around where somebody goes and rearranges other people's decorations? I was at this house, and I noticed the tinsel looked a little haphazard. You're pointing her out. Okay. Well, I've noticed it. I noticed it, but I wasn't going to touch it, and I wasn't even going to say anything. I'm just like, oh, okay, probably a kid did that. And then I watched as somebody got up and just started rearranging it. I'm like, ooh. Yeah, I would not do that. I would not do that. But it is fun. I mean, I don't know if you have your kids help you with the decoration. It's funny how they have, like, they want their ornament to be the most prominent thing, and it's always fun. And then buying gifts. And then as the money starts to add up and you're thinking, ooh, how many of you feel like you got to get the same amount, dollar amount for each kid? I'm just curious. Because they don't know. You know that, right? How many, you got to get the same number for each kid? Okay. I know fair is one of those things. I know I had a cousin who used to always say, the fair is in Sedalia once a year, is what he would say. But all that brings pressure. Even Christmas parties can be pressure. Yes? I've been to two already, and I'm happy to go. It was fun, but at the time, I thought, man, I got so much to do. I don't know if I have time for this, but I need to go, and I said I would go, so I went, and then it was fun. But still, you know, we're just running out of time until Christmas. Then family gatherings and school programs. You don't want to miss those, but, you know, they don't schedule them around your schedule, right? So it just adds pressure. And then complications with family. You know, over the years, I've been around so many families that have these kind of complications. I mean, and even in marriage counseling, what I'll do premarital is like, okay, let's think about this now, how you're going to do Christmas, his, hers, right? So I know a lot of families try to figure it out. Well, we'll do Thanksgiving with your family this year and Christmas this year. And you think about step families and how many of those you do, and it gets complicated. I know some families who've already done their Christmas. And I know some families who have already scheduled to do it in January just so they can get everybody together, because otherwise it's just too busy. And the pressure, it's just crazy. Do you ever feel pushed to buy certain things? Like the latest fashions? I'm usually about 10 years behind fashion. You know what I find about that too? It's cheap. Everything's cheaper because it's no longer in fashion. So if you want some pro tips like that, I can give them to you. I just stay behind the whole thing. But it's funny about toys too. Have you ever bought a toy for somebody and you wanted your, let's just be honest, you want your toy to be the toy that gets played with at Christmas? You ever notice that? You know what I'm talking about? And you want it to be their favorite toy and you got it for them and then they play with the box? Have you ever had that happen? You're like, I could have got them a box. And then what if they don't like it? Have you noticed, have you ever gotten trapped by this too, how the most popular toy? So I wanted to take you on a trip down memory lane, because we have people of all ages here. One of the things I love about our church, the uniqueness of this church, it's such a family-oriented church, and we have people, we literally have a large group of 90-year-olds, 90, And then we have, you know, young families with brand new babies. So any guesses what would be the number one toy in 1952?
Yo-yo.
You're close, but it's not that. It was a Slinky. Remember Slinky? Anybody have a Slinky? I loved Slinky for like 20 minutes while you're putting it down the stairs, and then it got tangled and whatever. How about 1960? Any guesses? It was not the hula hoop. The hula hoop was earlier, but still, it was Etch-a-Sketch. Anybody have an Etch-a-Sketch? I loved Etch-a-Sketch. How about 1970? I know we're skipping up quite a bit, but I was picking things I liked. Anybody have a Nerf football? Remember those? If you threw the spiral just right, you could throw it a long way. If not, that, you know, if you throw a duck or a wobble, it would not go as far. But, and then growing up always by the beach, if you get it wet, it'll go farther, just saying, if you want to know. Little tips here. 1972 was the big wheel. Anybody have one of those? Who had one of those? Did you really? Oh, yeah, you would. Yeah, I was a little, I missed it. It was, you know, age-wise. But how about Rubik's Cube? Remember that, 1980? 1980, the Rubik's Cube hit. Number one toy of 1980. And then how many of you had a Cabbage Patch doll? Anybody?
No.
You can raise your hands higher. It's okay. They were so popular. Yes, people are waving. How many still have one? Okay, it's a lot of hands went up. Okay. How many remember Teddy Ruxpin? I didn't, I mean, I knew what that was, but I mean, this was all after me. Care Bears, remember the Care Bears? And then who had a Game Boy? Anybody have a Game Boy here? Yeah. Yeah, those were great. And remember the Tickle Me Elmo craze? 1996 is when that was. Kind of creepy, but it was, everybody loved them. And then Beanie Babies. There was, when I was looking for pictures, there was actually a picture of this couple, no kids, but they were dividing their Beanie Babies in their divorce settlement. It's sad. But that's how popular they were, I guess, or whatever. Does anybody remember this? I know this is really Tamagotchis. Anybody have one of those? And you had to keep it alive? You guys, if you don't know what this was, it was kind of corny, and it wasn't really great graphics. I mean, you can see the graphics on there. Not awesome, but you had to feed it at a certain time and do certain things to it to keep it alive, and if it died, then you had to start over. So I never had one, but I'm just saying it was a thing. And then, you know, electronic stuff really started to take off. In 2005 was Xbox 360. I know that's going back a ways, but... I know, I heard the PlayStation people talk. But I skipped ahead anyway to Nintendo Wii. Do you remember when the Wii came out?
Yeah.
That was 2006 when that came out. I'll talk about that in a minute. But and then jumping way up to more, it was actually the Separately Kids introduced me to the Squishmallows. I didn't know what those were. I did not know what those were. And I saw them and they had like multiples. I'm like, what is this? And they are really soft. If you've never seen one, they're kind of cool. But does anybody know what the number one toy this year is? Yeah, I've heard it already. It's Labubus. And if you don't know what a Labubu is, if you do not know, it is a thing. And I actually have planned to give one away today, but I could not find one. They are not, and there's so many knockoffs. I've seen a lot of knockoffs, but I wasn't going to give away a knockoff. And even to get one, like, I know it does look like Where the Wild Things Are, but when I... And they come in all different sizes, all different kinds. So if you're sitting there like, what in the world? I get it. Because I'm not getting one. And I didn't get one for you. But I remember the whole Wii craze because it was such a big deal. And when we decided, okay, let's get one, we waited too long. And I literally could not find one in Kansas City anywhere. But I did find it. But where I found it might be surprising to you. I found it at the Indian Springs Mall in KCK at the GameStop. Does anybody remember the Indian Springs Mall? Because it's no longer there. Isn't it weird how those things are so important in the moment? And you rush so hard. And I remember getting there, and they only had two left. I had called ahead, and the guy said, well, I will hold it if you can be here in 15 minutes, which I couldn't, because we lived in Liberty at the time. And I got there in 20 minutes. I bought the last one, maybe in Kansas City, I don't know, because I had called everywhere, and this was it. And I bought it, and I was so happy. And the kids loved it. I mean, it was a thing. But all the stress, you just step back and wonder, was it worth it? And then to even think about the fact that the Indian Springs Mall doesn't even exist anymore. And that made me think about, like, Bannister doesn't exist. And anybody remember Blue Ridge?
All the time.
And even the Antioch Mall is gone now. And then I started thinking Toys R Us is... Okay, How funny is it, though, we put all this pressure on ourselves to do these things when a lot of times a kid would play with the box. Now, I know the Wii is not the same as a box. I get it. But still, all this pressure and all this stress. So we're doing this series. We started last week. This is the second week of Advent. And if you haven't done this yet, you can still join us on the Advent reading plan. I know I had some people contact me this last week, and they struggled with the link. If you do the YouVersion Bible app and you want to do the YouVersion, that reading plan with us, I would encourage it. It's fun. So many people are commenting. I'm getting so many more insights that I didn't see when I read the scripture. And don't be shy. If you're interested in doing that, you can do that with us. I always put my notes in the YouVersion Bible app, and I know that may sound strange, but how it works is you just go into the three little lines, which is the menu, and you click on events, and it'll pop up with any church that's doing notes like this. And so all my notes are in there. If you're curious, you can follow along. What I love about it is, like, this link is in there, but if you need the link, you can just contact me personally. I can give it to you. It's easy to get. But we are in this series. Does anybody remember what last week was? Hope. I heard it. At first, I thought it was hope. She said hope. Yeah, it was hope. And as a teacher, I don't know if you realize this, but tests are for teachers too. Like, if you didn't know it was hope, I would feel like I failed. It is about hope. Does anybody know what today is? Peace. It is. Peace. It is about peace. It's this four-week... If you're not familiar with Advent, it's something that many churches do. Not all churches, but many churches do it as a month-long kind of preparation for Christmas. And Advent literally means the coming of Christ. It means the coming. So we have the first Advent, which was Christmas. The second Advent will be the second coming later. So this is what we're doing. We're talking about Jesus coming and getting our hearts and minds prepared. Because it can be so distracting. And with all the stress of the season, and if you'd buy into it or not, maybe for you, maybe you're the dad and you don't even know what your kids are getting for Christmas till they open it. So you're just as surprised as them. Oh, look what I got you. Which you had nothing to do with other than maybe contributing financially. But today we are talking about peace. And you see a world that is so stressed, there's no peace. Not only peace in the world, and peace is more than just absence of war. I know for as Americans, we don't often feel, I mean, we have soldiers in all parts of the world. We don't always feel the stress of that. But there are many places in the world that are actively in war, and we don't feel it. But it's more than that. Peace is more than that. I was thinking about this and just thinking about, you know, situations that are common. I'm not talking about any of you with these situations I'm going to describe. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, he just shared my situation with the whole church. I'm not. They're general enough, but they're common enough. I was thinking about this. You know, there's somewhere where mom and dad aren't getting along, and it's serious, and the kids feel it. There's no peace. There's no peace in the home. They want to work it out, but they don't see a path forward. I know there's probably, this is super common, you know, it could be a guy or girl, but somebody feeling harassed at school and kind of pushed around and wondering, you know, who they are because they don't fit anywhere. They're trying to figure it out. I'm sure there's somebody who at their job, they feel like they try everything and it's never good enough and they just don't know what to do. I'm sure there's a single parent who's trying to make the finances work. And this is not the life they intended, and they didn't plan on this, and this isn't what they wanted. Sure, there's somebody who's living on a fixed income, and they feel like they're a burden on their family and a burden on everybody, and retirement isn't what it was supposed to be. It's not relaxing. It's stressful. Our economy, inflation, car problems. And at a certain age, you get a new pain, and you wonder, is this how it is now? Is this the new normal? Or will this go away? I mean, there's all this pressure and stress. And it's not what God intended. This is literally the opposite of what he intended. And it's the opposite of what he intended for this season. And the season isn't intended to bring all this. And some of it we bring on ourselves by buying into the world's pressure and buying the new thing. I'm sorry if you can't get a laboo-boo. It's funny, I did see a bunch of Labubus this last week, since I was focused on it. I couldn't get one. I tried to get one. I couldn't buy one. There was none available. And even on Amazon, I couldn't get one for like 2 weeks. I'm like, well, it's past. If I can't get it in 3 days, I don't want it. It's the exact opposite. And as the people of Israel were hoping and wanting a Messiah, I read this verse last week, but I'm going to read it again because I want you to really zero in on some of these terms, some of these names of Jesus. Isaiah wrote this, and this would have been written about 700 years before Christ. So I'm waiting. I can't wait 3 days. They waited 700 years. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The second worship song we sang in the last set talked about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He's born the King. The world Jesus came into, they didn't know anything about these Christmas preparations we do. It's kind of interesting because I was talking with our guide who's a Jewish, and he was telling me, I was telling him about the lights. I was walking the dog and just telling him about how beautiful this time of year is. And he told me, he said, some point in my life, I want to be in the United States during Christmas. I want to experience that. So I was digging in a little with him, and I'm like, what do you want to experience? I mean, he's not Christian. I pray for him all the time. Please pray for Jonathan. I would love to see him come to Jesus. And he says, well, just, I know it's different here, but we still have Christmas trees and some people still decorate with lights. He just wants to experience basically the secular Christmas is what he wants to experience. And when I told him, I said, but, you know, you'd have to come to our church, of course. And he goes, oh, no, I want to. And he wants to. But it's funny how what he wants to experience is kind of what the child wonder and the gift giving and the tree and the decorations. And I told him, I said, but you'll miss out on the peace that is promised. And he's like, well, no, I know we need peace. We need it. I want it. But he still doesn't get it, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Life was hard for them. That time in the world was so hard. You know, we still haven't eradicated slavery. I know you know that. There's an outreach that we'll participate in coming up with the World Cup is coming, and there's all these people trafficked into slavery here in the United States still. And around the world, there's places where it's still legal. I mean, there is slavery everywhere. But in their society, it was super common, super common. I mean, they estimate that 35 to 40% of the population would have been enslaved, 2 to 3 million people during that time. The Romans, it was part of their life. It was just an assumed thing in most cultures that some people would be slaves, whether they were captured as captured into slavery or sometimes sold themselves into a type of indentured servitude where they couldn't afford to live, so they would sell themselves and then be under the care of somebody. I know it's complicated. It's different than the chattel slavery we had in the United States. It's sad, though, to think about. That was their life. Sickness would have been fatal. In a lot of occasions where we just go to a doctor and get antibiotics. It's hard to imagine. Most people would have been illiterate. It's such a weird world to live in. And even the taxation, you know, the Romans, their huge, huge civilization was built on this tax system, which is why Jesus and his family were in Bethlehem in the first place. It was to register for taxation because the Romans figured we need to get these people into there. And they felt like it was easy to do with the Jews because they would go back home and get taxed in their hometowns. But think about the pressure on the Jews. They had to pay these heavy taxes for a government they didn't believe in, for the pagan things that were happening, similar sometimes in our country where, you know, we are all have to pay, and there's this big part of what's going on with that shutdown recently was they're trying to get rid of the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment says that the government won't pay for abortions since we don't all believe in that. And yet it's something that we're still fighting about today, paying for things that we don't believe in. It wasn't just that. I touched on this last week, but the religious establishment put huge burdens on the people. And a lot of it had guilt. It was It was a horrible time. They desperately needed peace. They needed peace of mind. They needed peace about the future, which they couldn't have because they had no control. We have this illusion of control as Americans, right? And I'm not trying to, I don't want to destroy everybody's ideas, but I mean, we vote for representatives and we hope they represent us, right? And we have this illusion of control because we might have some money in a bank account and you have a car and you have food in the, but even then, it's so different. I mean, it doesn't always give us peace. What I'm talking about is beyond that, peace with God, a lasting, eternal peace where you know things are good. You've had this situation where maybe in your own home or maybe with a friend where you knew there was something between you that wasn't right. And you have this sense that when you go talk to them, there's this a little bit of anxiety, which is the opposite of peace. And you can't even put a finger on it sometimes because you wonder what's going on. And if you can make that right, and you might say something like, hey, are we good? Because it seems like there's tension. And then the person shares what it is and you apologize and make amends and you restore the relationship. That is peace. But imagine that with God, where you know that you aren't right with him, whether it's something you're doing or something you have done or something that is between you and him, and you know you're not walking with him the way you should. And deep in the background, maybe, it's just this sense of you're not right. He wants to give you peace. Have you noticed in our society we medicate for peace? Have you noticed that? And it's temporary. It doesn't last. In fact, I had somebody once say, you know, alcohol doesn't actually take away your problems. It irrigates your problems. Like, whoa, never thought about that. You mean you try to medicate and ignore it or dull the pain, but it doesn't take it away. In a lot of cases, it makes it worse. Sometimes we just try to ignore the issue, but ignoring doesn't take it away. It's still there. And you probably notice this. Your mind still works on it. You wonder why you're not sleeping good? Because your mind knows there's an issue. Maybe between you and God or between you and somebody else. And because your mind knows, it works on it in the background. And part of one of the symptoms of that is lack of sleep or tension in your mind. Sometimes we run from our problems. But you can't run too far. You want peace, but you're running away from the thing that would make peace. Busyness. Some people just flood their life with busyness. And they're so busy, they just don't have to think about the issues. But again, your mind knows, and your mind's working on them, even though you're not. And you can't be so busy. I mean, you get exhausted and fall into bed and then don't sleep good, and then the alarm goes off, and there's never enough time. Some people just complain. And I know it sounds funny, but you complain because you don't have peace, so you try to share the pain with somebody, and all that does most of the time is you're sharing it with people who can't fix it, and it turns into gossip more than it does health and help. Some people just worry. You know what worry is? It's you giving mental energy to something without fixing it. It doesn't actually change anything. Is it a surprise to you that God has a solution to this? Shouldn't be. He says in the book of John, I leave you with peace. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Did you know God wants to give you peace? He wants that for you. You know how it is. Those of you who have children, you want your children to have peace. You want them healthy. You try to guide them and shape them and help them with their choices because you want that for them. Imagine our Heavenly Father and how much more he wants that for you. Imagine how it is too where he sacrificed his son and then he sees people ignore or not choose him, the very thing that he gave to them that would give them peace with him. And they don't do it. We have to choose it. Peace with God is possible. It used to be that you had to sacrifice animals and do all these things, but instead his son became the sacrifice. I used to love this when Pastor Newby would say, there's actually two ways to heaven. I remember the first time I heard him say that, I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus is the only way. You know the other way, right? Be perfect. You could be perfect. You could follow all 10 commandments and never make a mistake, but you can't. That is a way. It just, no one can do it. Peace with God. Have you seen that? It says no peace, no God. N-O-K-N-O-W. If you know him, you know peace. But then if you, there is no God, N-O, there's no peace. It's all about that. In Psalms, the book of Psalms, I love this psalm. I don't think I've ever used it in a sermon before, but it just so spoke to me for us today. It said this, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people. He speaks peace to his faithful people. But let them not return to their foolish ways, because your foolish ways are why you don't have peace. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. And by fear, he means respect. Like you are overwhelmed and in awe of him. So our land will be filled with his glory. Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Isn't that a wild thought? Righteousness and peace have kissed. What that means is you living in righteousness will bring you peace. You'll have peace with him if you're living in righteousness, and righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth springs up from the earth and righteousness smiles down from heaven. Yes, the Lord pours down his blessings. Our land will yield its bountiful harvest. Righteousness goes before it as a herald before him, preparing the way for his steps. You can't earn peace. It's actually given. And when you give your heart to him and want to live for him, that changes everything. You actually have to trust him. And so how this works is you're in a situation where it's bringing you anxiety and worry and care, and you do not have peace. But if you could give that to him and trust him with that, and rather than depending on yourself or depending on others, instead you give him the worries, and then he takes them and gives you peace. My question for us today is this. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give him peace? I mean, give him your worries and take his peace. It's a choice. Peace with God. And then what's beautiful about it is once you have this peace, this inner peace with God, then you can be a peacemaker, a peace giver. You can share peace. Because our world is in definite need of this. They don't have it. They just don't have it. Jesus said this, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. You may have realized as we talk today that you've been looking for peace other ways. But those won't satisfy. They will not give you the peace you're looking for. The only way to get that peace is through Jesus himself. And then he gives it because he wants that with you. There's a quote that's attributed to St. Augustine that says this. And this is a modern paraphrase. He was way more eloquent, but he also lived in the 4th century. So he didn't speak English like us. But he said this, love God and do whatever you want. Love God and do whatever you want. If you're worried about what you're doing isn't pleasing to him, check the first part, love God, and then do whatever you want. Because if you love God, whatever you want to do will be pleasing to him, and you'll be at peace. If you love him, if that relationship is fixed, then everything else is details, and you can have peace. If that relationship is right, then everything else can be right. So how do we get peace with others? One of the things I think is important to start with is just this, that we are all one in Christ. Every single person you know is made in the image of God just like you. Galatians says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, all the same. And then in Romans, Paul writes this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As much as it depends, you're not gonna be able to be at peace with everyone. You know that, right? For some people, just your presence is going to bring angst because you're a believer and you're living righteously and your righteousness convicts them. That's not on you. That's on them. But as much as it is on you, live at peace with everyone. When we were in Israel a couple weeks ago, we heard the word shalom a lot. They use it as a greeting, a greeting. So they would say shalom. When you first encounter somebody, you say shalom. And then sometimes as you're leaving, they would say it too, but mostly it's a greeting. And then if it's, you know, Friday afternoon, they would say Shabbat shalom. So I was talking with our guide about that just to dig into, you know, their understandings. And I was saying, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, of course, it's just like when you say hello. It's that, it can be that surface. He said, but there is a deeper meaning. I said, well, I know. That's what I'm going for here. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? He says, well, it means peace. He says, so what are you, when you're saying that to somebody, what are you saying? He goes, I'm wishing them peace, peace in their inner man, is what he said. It's okay, that's fair. And as I studied it more, it goes beyond. When they say shalom, the word in Hebrew is way more than just absence of conflict. It really does mean peace as a whole person. So it's broader. It means wholeness and well-being. It means it encompasses everything you can imagine, like physical health, emotional well-being, spiritual harmony with God, justice, material prosperity. Does that sound like anything we read in Isaiah? That the Prince of Peace would bring. It's what he does. It's who he is. And then we're supposed to be peacemakers. We're supposed to share this peace. I'm gonna ask you to shut your eyes for a second. I do this every week. I do it because we're in a room full of people, and maybe you're watching online and you're not alone, but there's something about shutting our eyes. We can just be alone with maybe the sound of my voice and with God for just a moment. I'm gonna just ask you this. When chaos swirls around you during this Advent season, I'm gonna ask you to choose peace. But that may be difficult because maybe the stress of family dynamics, or maybe there's a tug and tension in your world and it threatens to break you. And I'm just gonna ask you to do something. I'm gonna ask you then to whisper a prayer and ask God to do what he wants to do already, and that is to give you peace. Just whisper, God, I need your peace right now. I need your peace. I can't get it on my own. I need your peace. I'm gonna ask you to do this when you feel rushed and spread thin. When the money at the end of the checkbook doesn't add up, I'm gonna ask you to choose peace. I'm gonna ask you to do this so that in spite of everything that is going on around you, that you would ask and say, God, I need your peace. Prince of Peace, I need you to reign in my life right now. I need you to calm my heart and mind. When you feel the pull toward perfection, the perfect gift, the perfect decoration, the perfect house, the perfect, you fill in the blank, that you would choose peace and ask the Prince of Peace to reign in your heart and mind. When you don't know how it's all gonna work out and you can't imagine a way through, that you would reach out to him. When you feel the weight of weariness, and when the hustle and bustle of the season is in the exact opposite of what it's supposed to be, that you would choose peace. I'm also well aware that there could be someone in here today that you do not have that peace with God, that there's something there. And you might be a believer already, and this might be the first time, but regardless, you know that you need to clear up something. That there's something in the way and you need that shalom with God. That you could have that today and it could be all taken care of. I've talked to people who say, well, you make it sound so easy. I said, well, I understand your confusion, because on the one hand, it's simple. It is simple. You ask forgiveness, he grants it. But I know it's complicated also, because I know some of the things that hold us back are very complicated. It might be a situation at work that you're caught in, and it's way more complicated than just you. It might be a relationship situation which you're part of, and you can't fix the other part. I know that. But I also know this, that when we turn these old things over to him and we're honest with God and we tell him from the depth of our heart, I am sorry, that he forgives. But I also know it's complicated, because it doesn't just end there, because then you need to walk in forgiveness. And it may mean that you ask for forgiveness, or it may mean that you ask for reconciliation. It may mean that you end a relationship. It may mean that you do your finances different. I am aware of that, but I want to invite you to peace today, every single one of you. And I'm just curious if there's anybody in here who, for the first time ever, you would say, I need peace with God. I need to quit trying to do this on my own. I need to give him my life. I'm sorry for what I've done that's wrong, and I want to become a Christian today. Anybody like that at all? If you just raise your hand and we will pray with you. I do see that hand. I appreciate that honesty. Anybody else at all? It's a special time of year. Well, let's do this. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And we have staff and spouses and board and spouses, and they operate as our prayer team. If you guys would come forward, they are here and available to pray with each of us and every one of us. I'm going to close this time of prayer in a minute and pray for everybody. But before I do that, I want to pray specifically with this one who raised their hand, and I'm going to ask you to join me. I feel like we as a group can welcome this person into relationship with God. And a good way to do that is for us all to repeat this prayer with me. And the prayer is not super special. It just acknowledges that we need him, that we've done things wrong. He's paid the sacrifice. We accept it. We ask forgiveness. We're part of the family. But how do you know that's just the beginning, right? So I'm going to ask this person too, after we pray, if you wouldn't mind coming up and letting someone up here know that you've prayed that prayer. And then what we're going to ask is we've got some Bibles back in the back, and we want to start you on this journey with Christ in a wonderful way. So if you would just repeat after me, then I'm going to close everybody in prayer, but repeat this after me first. Father God, I need you. I'm sorry for what I've done that's wrong. I want shalom with you. I want peace, inner peace with you. I want that today. Pray that you would give me that today. And I'm going to pray for the rest of us. But as I do, if you want prayer specifically, personally, with one of these who are up here, that's why we're here. We want to pray with you. And maybe for you, it's something else that you just need prayer with. You want someone to join you in prayer. It could be anything. It could be physical healing, spiritual, emotional. It could be if you want to, maybe you want to be speaking tongues today, gifts of the Spirit. Whatever that is, we're here for that. We're ready. We are here for that. And like I said, though, the person who raised your hand, if I could just ask you to do one more thing and come up and talk to one of these, and they will get you started on this relationship. But go ahead and jump out now, and I'm going to close us in prayer today. Father God, I am so grateful that you sent your Son as the Prince of Peace. God, I'm grateful that you have provided a way for us to have peace with you and peace with others, this shalom that we hear in Hebrew. God, I want that in my life. I want that. Each person in here wants that desperately. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we walk through whatever situations we walk through in these next few weeks heading toward Christmas, God, that you would help us to feel and sense and have your peace in every situation, every financial situation, relationship situation, situations at work and school. And God, we want your peace, the peace between you and us, to be settled in each of these situations. And then God, I pray for everyone in this room that you would help us as we walk out of this room to be agents of peace to a world who so desperately needs peace with you. And we pray all of that in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go and spread peace throughout this world. Amen.